Hey, it's Cappy, and this is Beyond the Plate, Heard, the audio newsletter where I share what's on my plate, literally and figuratively. From culinary insights to restaurants and recipes, it's everything I'm seeing, tasting, and talking about in just a few minutes. This isn't a peer-reviewed culinary journal. It's just my take on what I'm into at the moment. So let's dive in, and I hope you all take something from my plate. First up is Akamaya. Akamaya is a Mexican restaurant in New Orleans. Okay, here's the deal. The last few people that I've asked for New Orleans recommendations, people in and out of New Orleans, have all told me to go to Akamaya. It's owned by Chef Anna Castro and her sister Lydia, who were born in Texas, raised in Mexico City, and then ended up in New Orleans. And they're first-time restaurant owners after being in the industry for a little while. They serve Mexican food, true to their roots, but really highlighting New Orleans and Gulf Coast ingredients and flavors, which come through in the dishes. Lot of good-looking dishes here, and definitely adding this to my New Orleans list. They're starting to rack up a lot of accolades, so you may want to add this one to your list for your next trip to New Orleans. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. Next up, the Beater Blade. Okay, the Beater Blade is a third-party attachment for stand mixers, most commonly KitchenAids, I'm pretty sure. I don't quite remember how I came across the Beater Blade, but I may have been looking for a replacement attachment for my KitchenAid stand mixer because I noticed mine was peeling a little bit. For all intents and purposes, it looks like a regular KitchenAid beater attachment, but this one has these flexible silicone sides, or wings as they call them, that kind of scrapes the bowl as it mixes, so you don't really have to stop and scrape manually as much. So after using it only a couple times, I found it really helps incorporate the ingredients really evenly, especially when you are creaming together butter and sugar, which going into Thanksgiving and holiday season, if you're using your stand mixer, you'll likely be using the creaming technique. Anyhow, given the time of year, I thought this may be a nice thing to share. And of course, I'll share the link to Beater Blade in the show notes. Next up is a pumpkin spice snickerdoodle cookie bar recipe. My daughter and I created this recipe out of a request for a bar type dessert from her teacher at school and wanting to add something fun for our next batch of Clean Plate Club recipes. So here we are. This is a cookie meets bar meets snickerdoodle meets pumpkin fall flavor, a pumpkin spice snickerdoodle cookie bar. After some research, we came across a really good looking recipe from Ree Drummond, the Pioneer Woman, and a few others, and we kind of made this our own. It's definitely sweet and rich, but we cut them into little 1-inch squares rather than actual bars, and they made for a really delicious little bite, and everyone we shared them with seemed to really enjoy them, so we'll probably be making them again. For now, I'm not going to share the recipe because we are going to add this to our other podcast we do called Clean Plate Club, which I haven't really talked about here yet, so stay tuned. Next up is an update on Snap, and I need to share it. I'm not going to get into every detail right now. There are a lot of nuances, but I do want to give you a quick high-level take on what's going on. So that's why I'm sharing it on this platform right now. SNAP, that's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps, is a government-funded nutrition assistance program. It has a deeper history, but for now, long and the short of it was permanently established in 1964 to help low-income Americans afford food and support economic stability. Right now, why you've been hearing about it so much, around 42 million people, including 16 million children, rely on SNAP every month. That's not just a stat. Those are people, human beings, people's friends, neighbors, coworkers, in your kid's school, people in your community. You catch my drift. And many of them are already working one or two jobs. They just don't make enough to cover the basics. So every month they're making impossible decisions like, do I pay rent? Do I pay my power bill to keep my lights on? Or do I buy food for my family to put on the table? So SNAP helps bridge that gap. But to put it in perspective, the average benefit is about $6 per day per person, and that varies, but that's the average. So we're not talking extravagance here, everybody. We're talking basic survival. So what's going on right now? Why are you seeing it in the news? SNAP payments were not fully distributed this month in November due to the federal government shutdown, which caused the USDA to freeze funding for the program. Although court rulings required the government to use emergency funds to provide partial benefits, the initial freeze and delays in processing have impacted when and how much recipients received. Again, there are a lot of nuances here, and I encourage you to do your own research, but for now, if you want to help, I suggest three things. One, donate your time. You can volunteer at your local food bank or pantry. Two, donate food. Many places have an increased demand and a dwindling supply. And three, donate. Donate money. Organizations like Share Our Strength, No Kid Hungry, Feeding America, and Hunger Free America are doing incredible work coast to coast. Those are national organizations. There are local ones, and of course, I'll include links in the show notes, including how to find organizations near you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for having a heart. Next up is two quick shout-outs, one for something I'm reading and one for something I'm listening to. First, something I'm reading is Andrew Zimmern and Barton Siever's new book called The Blue Food Cookbook. This is a cookbook and guide to environmentally friendly practices for buying and cooking from oceans, lakes, and rivers. It has over 145 recipes in this book. And I know you know Andrew Zimmern, but Barton Siever is an incredible seafood advocate and happened to be at the Culinary Institute of America at the same time when I was there. So I've been familiar with him for quite some time. And let me tell you something, the knowledge of these two guys put together is off the charts. So if you're into seafood, learning about it, cooking it, get this book. Next, something I'm listening to is our latest episode in our Beyond the Drink series with bartender Ian McPherson out of Edinburgh, Scotland. Ian is such an incredible thinker and so well respected in the bartending world, and his story is very wild. He literally studied ice cream and gelato and kind of took some practices into the bartending world, and now bartenders all over the world use his techniques. So check out that episode. Next up is Panettone from Roy. From Roy makes one thing and one thing only, panettone. Full disclosure, when I first heard about From Roy, I thought, gosh, I've been hearing a lot about this. I'm just going to order a loaf and give it a try and make a bunch of French toast with the leftovers. And man, was I wrong. Chef Roy is based in San Francisco and has basically dedicated his craft, his life, his business to making one of the best panettones in the world. Full stop. He trained under some of the best chefs and pastry chefs, and people say it's some of the best outside Italy, and some people even compare it to the best in Italy. But here's what I can tell you. His flavors are awesome. The panettone is incredibly airy and soft. It tastes kind of rich, but at the same time, it's not heavy. And if you see a special flavor he's doing at the moment you're on his website, get it because they sell out. No joke, when I went to his website and doing some more research for this episode, I saw that he was selling a tiramisu panettone and I ordered it. Heads up that it's not the cheapest thing, but it will be the best you try and very worth it. One last thing before I leave you. I made a very simple vinaigrette recently for a salad, and everybody was raving about the dressing. It's nothing that I did different from any other time that I make a basic vinaigrette. I make it pretty simple and straightforward all the time, but I really think the key is using shallots. So next time you make a vinaigrette at home, start by finely dicing half or one small shallot and letting it hang out in the bowl with a pinch of salt and your acid or vinegar for about 10 or 15 minutes, just before you add the rest of the ingredients. Again, seems silly and simple, and it is, but it makes a difference. So give it a try. Thanks for listening to Herd, a production of Beyond the Plate. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. If you like this, then tap the follow button and tune in for more Herd, where I share what I'm seeing, tasting, and loving lately in food and hospitality. And if your friends and family may enjoy it, I hope you'll share it with them. Until next time.